Welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. Today I have two guests, maybe three if we count one as an alien. So I think I have three guests. Their short film, Higher Grounds, is currently on the film set circuit, but they'll tell me if I'm wrong. I have in the house Joe Kramer, Christian Circus Graham. Welcome to the show, both writers of the short. And one's an actor.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So how is writing with a partner? I always find this interesting. Like, it's tricky. Whose idea it came up with first, or was it just same time?
That's a good question. I think, yeah, this one was one that we had sort of built together in real time. I think if I'm remembering correctly, Joe, I think you were, someone floated the idea by you, to take part in an anthology film they were doing, right? Is that how that started?
Yeah. The previous film that I had done, a producer saw and really liked and suggested putting together an anthology film and asked if I'd be interested in taking part. And Christian and I were actually working on a script. We were in the middle of working on a script for a feature when that came through. And we said, I don't know, maybe let's think about it. What would we do with that if we were to do it? And we just started spitballing ideas and kind of got excited about it. We said, all right, let's put the feature on hold and work on this alien idea that we have.
So do both of you guys like aliens, or just kind of work for you doing the aliens?
I've never met one that I've liked.
Oh, you have met them though. Excellent.
Right, but I wasn't crazy about them.
That's fair enough. That's all good. I mean, be who you want to meet. I mean, that's why we live in this world.
Right.
Who you want to hang out with.
You'll notice it's a fairly negative portrayal of them in the film.
I disagree.
Yeah, how'd you walk away with that? What was your perception?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot, are you? A lot of idol worship. I think they're fun. I think this definitely should be a sketch comedy.
Yeah.
I think it's there. It could be a full-length movie if we expanded a bit more and you guys had a little bit better budget than two locations.
Great to hear.
So I don't want to ruin anything. You guys are getting me in trouble already. I enjoyed it. If that's what you're asking me, I had a good time.
Right. That's
so
the right
let's back up. You guys only have, I would argue, three locations. I have a convenience store, a coffee shop, and a roof. Those are, and the beach, but the beach really a location. I'm not sure if you guys are green screening the beach or not. I was having some issues with that, but we'll get there. The convenience store, it works perfectly for this. So whose convenience store and why this convenience store?
It was at, it's a convenience store that's at 13th and Spruce, here in Philadelphia. And it worked for what we needed. It was near our other locations and it looked good. And we needed something that was a very basic convenience store. And it was big enough to be able to accommodate a production.
Yeah. Well, you guys look, go ahead.
We really liked that the sort of like very almost like cartoonishly generic signage out front, the just like very kind of like convenient food mart that kind of felt like a lot of little details in this, in the story were kind of meant to feel very like, specifically, sort of like thematically symbolic. Like we have the very kind of like the characters of like the stock mayor, the stock sort of like character that's supposed to like represent organized religion, the preacher arguing with the character that's supposed to represent the world of science, like the NASA scientists. And so it was just kind of like when the aliens kind of are sort of thrown into mundane human society and trying to look for a little, procure little items for themselves, like from like the corner store, it's kind of like was funny that like the one little store that they go up to is just called like Convenient Food Mart. I don't know. There's something funny about that very simplistic little detail.
There's a lot about the film that's very cartoonish. So that fits right in.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely agree. And the coffee shop is really a coffee shop or is it something else?
All Too Real. It's a coffee. It's in, that's up in Port Richmond. It was called Riverwards Cafe. I think it might have rebranded since then. But yeah, that was a great owner to work with.
So I want to go back to the big opening shot. You have a traffic jam. You have a bunch of people using cell phones. Okay, I'm going to describe the scene so you guys know what my question is. Did you guys work on really shooting that shot perfectly? Like, I don't think you could make that traffic jam look any better to me. Like, and I also want to go, did you guys use a color tint filter at times on the lens? It really looks like you're giving me color tints constantly, changing them on me, because the convenience store doesn't have the same one. The coffee shop doesn't have the same one. The aliens all seem weird colored, except when they're on the roof. So that's my big question.
I spent a lot of time very particularly color grading it. And so it's very nice to hear that those different looks worked for you.
Okay, yeah. That's okay. Now, did you want to get the actors? I'm going to go a little bit deeper. The actors seem to have all different colors on them all the time in the traffic shot. Was that also pre-planned? Did you pick their outfits? Or did they just happen to show up like that, just a coincidence?
Do you see the shot where they're standing outside of the cars and they kind of like have their phones?
Yes, that's exactly the one.
Okay. Those were mostly extras. We didn't have much say in what they were. Our lead characters, of course, we kind of art directed all the costumes. But the extras, correct me if I'm wrong, Christian, from what I remember, just showed up what they were wearing.
We didn't have them. We didn't arrange for their outfits specifically, but we did pretty carefully kind of block them out in the frame to like this side of the frame feels one color heavier. We just kind of worked how they like arrived for us. But as far as the characters that had like lines on like on camera, those were very kind of like whatever was on any of their bodies was a very specific choice on all of our parts, down to like we our lead actress, there's obviously a bit of like a built-in kind of line about the central kind of alien played by Joe was on his home planet enamored with by like a redheaded alien with like a literal red head, and then he ultimately falls for this earthbound barista on this planet. And we wanted to make sure that like while she was that our actress is a brunette, that her hair had like a subtly red tinted dye to it. And
who's a brunette?
She was brunette, yeah, but then we had like a very sort of like a subtle red dye in her hair to kind of like give it a reddish kind of.
I thought she just dyed her hair red, is the way I took it. So that's right. The way I just thought, which worked for the character. I totally believe that. Perfect. So your look of your aliens, obviously Joe does look like Elroy from the Jetsons. I totally like the reference. Made me laugh numerous times. Was there ever another color besides blue for the aliens, or just the blue worked the best?
I think
we knew we didn't want to do green.
Yeah. Yeah, the green felt a little too lazy, and blue kind of that specific light shade of it just felt like it popped in a really vibrant cartoony kind of way that we were just kind of going for.
Yeah, I do want to go a little bit of the CGI effects. Mm-hmm. Do you guys wish you had a little bit more time to work on the ship? Because I felt the ship was just sort of placed in the shot. I felt a little bad. I mean, I know you're short, you have budget constraints, and I felt the ship was just implanted there. And I thought maybe if you guys had maybe another month, you could do a little bit more colorization. I think it looks great. It works for the short. Don't get me wrong. I'm just being fussy.
We didn't even want it to be computer generated. We really wanted it to be a miniature.
Okay, that would have worked better, 100%.
Yeah, we tried to go that route, but we just couldn't get it to work with what we had, and ultimately we just had to go with a computer generated one.
Well, again, it's a time thing. I mean, I know you guys are shooting a 60-minute short. You only have so much X budget, X time, because you want it out there by a certain time.
For sure, yeah. It was largely a budget thing, too. It's we wound up with the digital asset that kind of worked well enough for what we needed. if we got to go digital, then like we, it would be great to have a team that could sort of like build something that would sort of land the way we wanted it to. But yeah, we're really at the mercy of whatever we can afford.
Hey, fair enough. Now, the computer graphics, did you guys work on that yourself or did you farm those out?
You mean when they're kind of having their mission sort of like transmitted to them?
You're correct. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
We worked with a freelance animator who, her name was Rachel Goldfinger, and she was very, very, very patient with our like painstaking edits and revisions. And she got exactly we worked like frame by frame to sort of build this exact thing that we wanted. I think she did a great job and she sort of built everything from scratch.
Last thing, is the beach have a CGI effect or is that the actual beach?
So no,
maybe you've covered it. It is an actual beach you shot at.
That is a pier in Wildwood. We shot it in like
late Jersey. September.
Yeah, yeah. We shot it in like late September. There was no one at the beach that day. It sort of worked out perfectly for us.
Wildwood. Enough location. It kind of feels divorced from reality in a certain way. But it's not exactly green screen. It is all too real.
So were there any color corrections done in the beach? Again, did you play with the color?
A lot, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what was throwing me off then. That's fine.
Yeah. Again, it part of the goal was to kind of make a live action cartoon. So we were pretty painstaking about every little thing we could do to kind of push it in that direction, which included the score and included the performances, and it included the color grading, try to get it as to pop as much as we could.
Okay, since you brought up score, I do have that in my notes. Music. It's very subtle. I only hear it about three times, I would say, maybe four. I might have missed one. How did you implement your music? I mean, it's not a mainstay. It's very subtle. It comes in when it needs to, and it goes immediately out. I find it doesn't stay long. It's more like you're doing something, you do it, and then gone. So was it supposed to be more of a white noise kind of thing? I mean, I enjoyed it, but it just seemed to be in and out. It never seemed to stay the music.
Yeah, so do you mean more of like when we chose for it to appear, or do you mean how we chose to compose it? Or
a bit of both. Zach, both questions, yes.
And do you mean the songs or the score?
I'd say more the songs. Mm-hmm. There is score, too. The score shows up very briefly at one point. I find it very strong, and then the rest of the time it's very subtle.
Yeah. Well, the songs kind of play a very particular role and have a very particular purpose. I think the most memorable one is the Calypso song that plays a few times, and that's sort of like Cleo's theme.
Okay. I didn't get that, so I must admit. So that's Cleo's theme. Okay, I know where you're going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it plays when she's getting ready to go to the beach, and she's kind of dancing through the cafe.
Yes.
It's cut short when her goal of leaving is kind of cut down.
I love that shot. You really designed that shot that she's on her way out. And she has her headphones. She's kind of in her own world. I love that. And then gets immediately yanked back into reality.
Right. Yeah, and then it plays again over the end credits.
Okay. Yeah, and the way the lyrics kind of work is they kind of complement whatever it is that you're watching. You kind of see her getting ready to go to the beach, you hear the lyrics kind of saying, last train to San Fernando, if you miss this one, you'll never get another one. You know, she's just really on this mission to get there. And if she just kind of misses her one ride to get there, then she's going to be kind of like stuck here. And then you kind of get the sense that it kind of dovetails into the broader theme of the story. Of a lot of people throughout this planet kind of have their hopes kind of hung on the arrival of these like celestial beings as their kind of like last hope to kind of make sense of a world that's kind of falling to destruction, and realizing they might not be getting their hopes realized through these things. And trying to make sense of what they're supposed to do next. And so in a very broader sense, those lyrics are kind of reflecting the general theme of the movie of like, we might only have like one more chance to get at, to really have our broader hopes realized.
Okay. Now, since you brought up the end credits, you guys are jumping ahead of me, but it's all right. There's an extra scene in the end credits. Was that always planned?
It was, yeah. That was baked into the storyboards, yeah.
Okay. So people stay for the end credits. Always good. I always watch them. Yeah, I want to go back to the second alien, not Joe, the other alien's boots.
Mm-hmm.
How hard were those to walk in?
He was having some trouble balancing, wasn't he, Joe?
Yeah, he was. Because our goal was always to sort of play on this kind of classic old comedy duo trope of like the shorter guy and the taller guy. And we knew that I would be the shorter guy. I am like 5'8", 5'9". So we were trying to find an actor that would be like, you know, 6'5" to play this part. Wow. That really limits who you can pick from. And the actor that wound up that we picked was one of the ones that came into audition. His name's Ignacio. He was so great and so funny in the part, but he was probably only maybe an inch or two taller than me. We went with the guy who gave the best performance and we said, well, what are we going to do about this? So he's in these big platform boots. And that was kind of just the only solution we could come up with for it.
I really felt bad for him because he looked awkward.
Yeah, well, there's especially the moment that kind of stands out with it, which I think he like played off well, was again on that rooftop scene when he's trying to sprint over running to the machine with that like can of Red Bull. And like he had to move pretty quickly and it's hard to kind of balance on those things. I think he had to like do a few practice runs and really make that work. And so he didn't really kind of eat it on camera.
But he does it really well. He kind of does it in this like very exaggerated way.
Yeah. I also find the best, my favorite part is when he's walking near the end when he has to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was going to fall over. I literally was waiting for him to take a header at that point before he's flowing. I thought he was going.
Right. But he maintained composure. That's what makes him a professional.
Right.
Okay. Did anybody comment on the missile system on top of the roof?
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, I just meant it's whenever you're filming, it's kind of weird watching two aliens sitting on the roof, stuff's going on. People are like, what is going on down there today?
Right. Well, I guess we were fortunate to, like, for that specific location, I think we were out of sight of civilians. So away from prying eyes in that sense.
We did get a lot of comments, though, when we would be shooting, like, in Old City, for example, just on the streets, walking down the street. We would find all these like Instagram posts popping up by people about the blue aliens that are Philadelphia this week.
Right.
So how did that make you feel, the Instagram post popping up? You're like, wait, free publicity, but you guys don't know what we're doing yet.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, and also it's like, no, we're not done. delay this for later when we're finished. But I don't know, it was kind of like fun, if anything. It was kind of like validating to see people take an interest like before we were even had this all assembled.
Now, I'm going to ask a weird question. Did this lead to any interviews pre-post, like for the local newspaper or anything? They tried to get in contact with you about the aliens?
No interviews, but we did see an article or two that was sort of like posted. I think it was one of the platforms wound up being something that ran something once we did release called, I think, the Wildwood Video Archive. They just kind of like saw that we were filming and kind of like grabbed some of our production stills and ran a piece without our even knowing it, which was kind of cool to see.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a weird question. Smoke on Chloe. There is a scene with Chloe has a lot of smoke. Is that a smoke machine or is that CGI?
That's CGI, right? Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to call it green slime. So I think you guys are know what I'm referring to. I don't want to ruin that. Was that like an actual green slime? Or again, is that CGI? Because it looked very tactical to me.
That's practical.
Mm-hmm. So was it just a normal green slime or?
I don't even know what it was. It was made by my nieces and nephews in their kitchen. one
good
night.
Work.
Yeah, they did a good job. I have no idea what it is.
I specifically remember that being a point when the owner of the convenience store was expressing some reservations on whether he should have agreed to do this.
And I think Ignacio, the actor, was also expressing some reservations.
Right. He gets a face full of that stuff, and he had to walk around the whole day with that.
Yeah, he was a trooper about that.
Yeah.
How was to clean him up with that stuff then?
It's pretty simple, but it's not pleasant to up into the point when you can clean it up. If you got to walk around with that on you, it's not a nice feeling substance.
Okay. Was the plan to always have Joe to look like Elroy Jetson to me? Because he does look like Elroy Jetson.
I don't think it had to be planned. I think it's just it was a convenient occurrence. Yeah.
That okay. line was scripted. So, yeah, we had to get the look of the character there if that joke was going to land, yeah.
And it comes up twice, so it is landed twice.
Right.
Okay, my last question. How did you get John O'Hurley?
That was actually an acquisition from Kristen Vaganis, who plays Cleo. We had initially shot this. The entire plan was to complete all of production and all of post-production with the exception of that little television screen transmission from the alien's boss, who sends them their mission. And we wanted to get everything completely ready to go and as best looking as it possibly could. And then ideally get some recognizable face, to fill that role. And then we were talking with Kristen, who's an actress based out in LA, ironically from Philadelphia, which was a nice little like occurrence. Asking if there's anyone, we're trying to brainstorm anyone who we could get this in front of who would want to take part in this. She gave us a few names of some actors that she'd recently worked with on a few commercial projects, one of which being John O'Hurley. And it was pretty great because probably the biggest comedic influence in terms of like the voice that we were after here was Larry David and Seinfeld and the entire, like we kind of, Joe and I both grew up kind of like inhaling that. As our sort of like daily kind of like comedic diet. And that was such a big influence on like the tone, the style, the voice of a lot of the kind of like narratives and the interwoven plots and like the jokes that you'll kind of like see through this. And so having that actor like slide into this role really felt like it was like a complimentary sensibility for what we're going after here.
I apologize. I missed one of my questions, so I'm going to go back. The aliens play with like an Etch-a-Sketch kind of thing at one point. What is that? I was trying to figure out what's an Etch-a-Sketch with extra things, with a piece of cardboard, CGI'd. What really was that?
We don't really know. So many of the props, we just went to like a big prop house outside of New York and we walked around and we knew we wanted this kind of like Ghostbusters kind of steampunk looking aesthetic for their technology. We wanted it to look old and shitty. And we just went through and we said, well, that looks like that. That does that, does that. And just collected a bunch of stuff and eventually put that stuff together. So I really have no idea what most of
it is. Fair enough.
Yeah, okay. It looks like a futuristic gadget as imagined by like the 1950s.
I only have three questions left, and they're all fun questions. So if you've listened to an interview before, you know what you're getting into. If you haven't, that's your problem. Favorite film, first time on the show, both of you.
Oh, man, single? One I fall back on a lot, Gun to the Head is Rear Window.
Beautiful film.
I might say this one, La Dolce Vita.
I haven't seen it in a long time. Okay, question number two. Since your film is about science fiction, favorite science fiction film?
Oof, that's tough. It's funny because as as much as we do sort of like it, and we made a film in the genre, that's not our sort of like either of our really default settings. Would you say, Joe?
No. I think of it as like a comedy that has like science fiction dressing.
Absolutely. I will accept that completely.
Okay, but it's important how like a lot of people will like regard Star Wars as like the a sort of like fundamental science fiction movie, when really that's kind of like a fantasy and mythology movie in science fiction dressing. In a
lot
of
ways. You are correct.
But to answer your question, I would probably say 2001.
Okay, last question. Recommend a film that nobody ever watches when you tell them to.
Oh. That's a good one.
And you can point to your poster, because I'll give you either poster, because I'm sure nobody watches those.
Can I say the one that we're here discussing?
Yes. Of course you can say your own film.
No, yeah. I did just recommend that you watch Jules and Jim, so maybe I can, and maybe, you know, maybe I can get away with that.
I said you could, because I know it, but I haven't watched it, so I will definitely be watching it.
Okay.
Can I take these recommendations to heart? I actually do watch them.
You know what? I really go to bat for a recent Coen Brothers movie called Hail Caesar. I think it's like hands down one of their best. It's definitely one of my favorites.
4 years ago? Pre-COVID.
Yeah, I think that movie is phenomenal. And I feel like I'm like always banging the drum of that one. And I'm pretty sure everybody I've said that to has probably not seen it. So that probably counts.
Perfect. Before I let you guys go, tell everybody where they can find your film.
It's on Vimeo. If you just search Higher Grounds on Vimeo, URL is vimeo.com/Joe Kramer/Higher Grounds.
Anything else you guys want to hawk? This is a good time.
Not that I can think of.
Okay. I didn't know if you had other things. Okay. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Hey, thanks for listening to that interview. It's Simon. Can you please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify? And if you have any extra change, feel free to send it to us at PayPal. And that's extrafeatures@gmail.com. On PayPal. Thank you. Bye.